Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah, chapter 55. And while you're turning to Isaiah, chapter 55, I want to read a verse in Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 29. Moses said, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the..." "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Several weeks ago, I preached at our church a message entitled, "From Grace to Grace." In the message, I tried to show that in eternity past, it was all of grace. And you understand eternity isn't past, present, and future, but I'm using that for our understanding. In eternity past, it was all of grace. In the process of time, it was all of grace. In eternity future, it will still be the unsearchable riches of his grace. From beginning to end, it's all of grace. But if we're not careful, we begin to think that we don't have to do anything. And this is where Brother Randy's already stole my thunder, but that's all right. Since God did it all by grace, we're relieved from any and all responsibility. If God has chosen by grace those whom he intends to save, then we're free to sit back and do nothing. Isn't that our thinking many times? Unfortunately, this seems to be the attitude of many churches and even many members. While it certainly is true that salvation is of the Lord and he is free to save whomsoever he wills, it is equally true that he has commanded us to be faithful and to do some things according to his word. Several months ago, you preachers ever say something and then you think about what you said and think, "Wow, I can't believe I said that." Several months ago on Wednesday night, I simply made a statement and I didn't even think about it until later, that the statement I made was that it took infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge to harmonize God's grace and God's responsibility. That leaves most of us out, doesn't it? And I want to show you, what I hope to show is that it's not up to us to find the balance between the two. It's not up to us to try to harmonize the two. They're two separate doctrines. One is not dependent on the other, and the other is not dependent on the one. First of all, and I will be conscious of time, first of all, for those who may not know me, God is sovereign. Brother Gormley very well explained that. And if you didn't get it, listen to Brother Keener, and he explained it even more. God is sovereign. Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's true. Don't apologize for it. Don't excuse it. That's a simple fact of life. Psalms 115 verse 3 said, "But our God is in the heavens." Brother Keener, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Don't be afraid of that. Don't apologize for that. It's there. It's simple. Well, it's not simple, but it's there. Romans 8:28 through 30 is true. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Don't be afraid of that. Acts 18:10, when Paul was ready to cut and run, God spoke to him and said, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Don't deny the sovereignty of God. It's there. Don't feel like you have to explain it or excuse it. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Us trying to understand God's sovereignty is like a blade of grass trying to understand the shuttle going to outer space and back. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You will never understand my sovereignty. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to harmonize it. Just accept it. Just believe it. And go on. Stop wasting your time trying to understand the mind and the thoughts of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You will never understand God's sovereignty. But don't stop preaching it because you don't understand it. Amen. Now, you'll never harmonize it. That brings me to Brother Titus's, the second point of my sermon. Our job is not to understand the mind of God. Our job is to be obedient servants. Acts chapter 28. Let's turn there because if I don't, I'm going to finish way too early. Matthew chapter 28. You know these verses. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I've got it all. How much do you have? None. You don't have any power. Don't go out there thinking that you've got power to save people. All power, and I know we can call it all authority, whichever, it's still every bit of it is given unto God in heaven and in earth. And having said that, The very next thing he said is, because all authority, all power is given unto me, because of that, go ye therefore. Amen. You don't have any authority. I've got it all. And because I've got it, you go. See, we get mixed up on that sometime. He said, go ye therefore. He didn't say, send ye therefore. Now, we like to send money. I would much rather write a check than go. I would much rather mortgage my house and give the money to somebody else than have to go myself. But the commission is, go ye. Oh, but that's given to the church. All right, when this building starts going, I'm going to say, okay. But until then, the church is the members that make up that body. And he said, the power is given unto me. Go ye. Don't sin. You have not fulfilled the commission. I don't care how many missionaries you send. I don't care how many hundreds of millions of dollars you send. You have not fulfilled the commission until you go. We forget that sometime. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that doesn't mean the blacks. Oh, yes, it does. That doesn't mean the Indians. Oh, yes, it does. If they're a living creature, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, how do you harmonize that with as many as were ordained to eternal life believe? I don't harmonize it. I preach them both as equally true. See, but I can't understand. The secret things belong to God. You're not supposed to understand. It's a secret that only the Godhead understands. The Godhead is the one that made that covenant. The Godhead is the one that ordained it all. And only the Godhead understands how it all functions. And my thoughts are not even your highest thoughts. I'm still so much higher than you are, as the heavens above the earth. You just go preach to every creature. Well, why do that if only the elect are going to be saved? Because you're a servant. I'm the boss. I told you to go. Now, I work part-time, and I have a boss, and I'm very, very free at expressing my opinion when I disagree with him. And we will discuss, and I'll present my case, and, you know, we'll go back and forth. But when he says, do it, at that point, all conversation stops. And my job, if I want to keep it, is to do it. Now, why do we understand that in secular realms? But when it comes to God, we want to know why. Well, why do I have to go? Because I said to. How many parents like it when your children question you? Why? How many of you parents have ever said, because I said to, that's why? And yet we argue with God. Well, God, why should I go? You've already chosen. Because I said go. Don't argue about it. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to reason it. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. The secret things belong unto the Lord. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do all the works of the law. Well, Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Amen. Well, I can't harmonize that with sovereignty. If you haven't got the point yet, let me repeat it. You will never harmonize those two points together. They're twin doctrines, but they're separate. Here's God's sovereignty. I don't understand it. Don't worry about it. I told you to go. You do what I told you to do. He doesn't say, preach, that's remission of sin should be preached unless God has chosen not to. No. Go, period. And something that has bothered me for a long time is the idea that we have to somehow feel like we have to harmonize and explain the sovereignty of God. Folks, you couldn't explain it if you had tried. Just believe it. Preach it. Brother Gormley, tremendous message. Brother Titus, tremendous message, but they contradicted. No, they didn't. One preached one point, one preached the other point. We keep trying to forcibly somehow explain how one works and the other. I'm not smart enough. They said that Einstein only used about 10% of his brain. Where does that leave the rest of us? My point is, no matter how smart we are, God's thoughts are still higher than our thoughts. God's ways are still higher than our ways. Well, how can God be sovereign and still hold man accountable? I get asked that question so many times. Well, if God is ordained, and Brother Keener, tremendous message, brother, tremendous message. But if that message is true, then how can God hold us accountable? There you go thinking again. Don't think. Just believe what God said. Amen. You get into trouble every time you start thinking and trying to figure out how God can do this and how God can do that. I will never understand the mind of God. And if I'm correct, even in eternity, I'm still not going to know everything God knows. And I'm not even for sure that even then he's going to explain to us how he can be sovereign and hold us accountable. Right. Well, if God's sovereign, Brother Keener, and God's involved in every detail, then how are we responsible? It took infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge to figure out how both can be true. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Well, it is a fact. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul, who literally wrote the book on the doctrines of grace, Paul said in Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Well, if God's ordained everything, how can I give an account? There you go again. Just stop thinking, can you? Just accept the fact. Paul said, you and I are going to give account of ourselves to God. Let God figure out how he's going to do it. Oh, I took 2 weeks to preach some of this, so I'm going to have to, I can't go into everything, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul wrote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done." Not merely what he planned to do, but what he did. Whether it be good or bad. Now wait a minute. How can God make me give account? How can I receive the things done in my body if God is sovereign and God has ordained everything? How can I give an account and be judged for the things done? Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Stop trying to figure out God. It's enough for me that he said, "I'm going to hold you accountable." Now, I'll let you in on a secret, and we got a lot of preachers here. We don't think, I wonder if God's ordained for me to sin or not. You know what? When I sin because I want to, I choose to, I enjoy it, my flesh delights in it, and therefore God is perfectly just in holding me accountable. Well, how does that fit in with sovereignty? I don't know. I'll be the first to admit, I don't know. I don't need to know. What I need to know is that someday I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and somehow, some way, God is going to hold me accountable according to that I have done, whether it be good or bad. And we like to leave off the next verse, "But knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." That's there just as much as Romans 8:29. Oh, I've heard it quoted, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Oh, that's talking to lost people. No, it's not, unless you got lost people at the judgment seat of Christ. It's talking to saved people. And Paul said, thinking about the judgment seat of Christ, thinking about some way, somehow, God has so made me that I'm going to give an account of the deeds done in the body, good or bad. And when Paul thought about that, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, wait a minute. Paul's theology is not straight here. We don't persuade men. You take that up with Paul when you get there. Paul said, "We know the terror of the Lord, and knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." I said, "I don't understand it. Just do it. Just do it. Stop trying to rationalize and figure out the mind of God." Well, quickly, God has promised us rewards. And this blows my mind. God has promised us rewards if we obey him. He's already ordained that I'm going to be a predestined according to the image of his son. But then he somehow turns around and rewards me for being obedient. Psalms 126:6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Well, if he's already ordained it, just do it. Just do it. Proverbs 11:30. And I know some of us would like to take this verse out, but it still says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, And he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
I'm being dead serious. You read that and you read the verse there in Acts, as many as were ordained to eternal life. You tried to figure those out, you'll go as nutty as a gene bug. But they're both true.
Amen.
I don't understand how, but then my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. I don't know how, but Proverbs says, he that winneth souls is wise. Acts 18:10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And that gave Paul the incentive to stay there and keep preaching. 2 Timothy 2:10. This blows a lot of people's mind. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Now, if we stopped there, we would be okay, but that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation. Man, if I think about that very much and try to put that in harmony with God's sovereignty, I mean, I would literally lose what little bit of brains I've got. Paul said, basically, God has a people. I don't know who they are. I don't know how God has chosen to save them. I don't know what God's got in mind. He commanded me to go. He commanded me to preach to every creature. He commanded me to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And because he commanded me to do that, I don't understand it, but I endure all things because God has an elect people out there somewhere, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, if you really want to get bogged down, figure that verse out sometime. Well, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. The hard shell reads the Bible and focuses on the sovereignty of God. In his let me see you try that one again, Brother Graver. In his weak mind, he feels somehow that it's up to him to defend the sovereignty of God. And in doing that, he pushes aside any verse that even hints of human responsibility. He's wrong. The Arminian, on the other hand, reads the many, many other verses that we could have read, where at the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He reads verses like that. He reads verses about man's accountability. And the argument that I've heard is, if you believe what Brother Keener preached, man's nothing but a puppet on a string and God's pulling the strings, and you've heard those arguments. And because he can't see God being pulling the strings on puppets, he rejects the sovereignty of God and makes it all of man. Neither one of them are correct.
Right.
The hard shell is just as wrong as the Arminian. God doesn't need you and I to defend Him. He's quite capable of defending Himself. What God wants us to do is proclaim Him.
Amen.
Don't worry about God's part. Just do what He told you to do. And He promised us, you do what He told you to do, and My word shall not return unto Me void, but it shall accomplish that which, and this goes, okay, you know, here we go back and forth. You preach the word, and it shall accomplish that which I please. Boy, talk about blowing your brains. It'll accomplish exactly what God wanted it to accomplish. But it accomplishes it because you and I go. And if you can figure that out, man, I'd love for somebody to explain it to me. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts that we can never even begin to understand. Don't run from them. Don't run from the sovereignty of God. Don't run from the responsibility of man. Don't be afraid of either of them. Preach them both exactly as they're revealed, and then shut up.
Amen.
If it says God ordained, preach God ordained. Don't add or take away from it. If it preached, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, preach, God commanded all men everywhere to repent, and don't add or take away from it.
Amen.
Just preach what God says, and let God sort it all out. Actually, He doesn't need to. He already planned it all out, but you just do what God said do, and when we get to heaven, God's going to tell us all He wants us to know about the harmony of both sides. And if He never explains it to us, our responsibility is still to believe it.